Welcome to VR Verdict, episode number 2, our weekly podcast where we talk about everything VR. I am PJ.
I'm Wookie.
And we'd like to share VR with you. I'm going to laugh at that every time.
Yeah, a little chuckle.
Throughout the show,
share VR with you.
If you have questions or any tips to share or any comments, you can at or hashtag VR Verdict on Twitter. And we'll answer your questions on the next podcast. And we also still have a handful of codes. So if we read your question on the next episode, you'll get your choice of one of our codes.
Free games!
This week, the main topic will be talking about the different headsets. So let's get started.
Cool.
Considering headsets. Disclaimer, I have only used a Vive Pro, and I own a Rift and an Oculus Quest, so anything outside of that will be just my knowledge of reading and listening to other things, but we should be able to help you get the right headset, if you haven't already.
Or at least get you some questions you might want to ask, as a headset we recommend might not work for your setup.
Mm-hmm. So we got a bunch of topics under the headsets, so we're going to just casually go through them and let us know if we don't answer one of your questions, and let us know if you buy a headset.
Yeah, and which one and why.
So starting off, there are a lot of things to consider, so we'll go through these things. I tried to put them in an orderly list from like important to not important, but it all depends. Like, there's so much stuff to consider, so we'll just cover the top five headsets. There's many more, but I think in the top five there's something for anyone. Just right off the bat, we'll just start with the hottest one, which seems to be the Oculus Quest. And I'll read the price with them too, just the base unit price. So we have Oculus Quest, which is a totally independent headset, no PC, no wires. It starts at $399. Oculus Rift S is their main PC VR headset, like full-blown VR headset. That's also $399. Kind of on the lower end, like maybe a good starter headset for unsure people, is Samsung Odyssey. They have an Odyssey, Odyssey Plus. The Odyssey Plus is around $350, as far as I can tell right now. Then you have the Cadillac headset, supposedly, which is the Valve Index, and that starts at $999. We'll kind of go into the differences of these, but yeah.
Damn!
That's the mama. And then the company Vive, like, they have Vive Pro. They literally have, it's like between 10 and 15 headsets, so I'm not going to name them all, but they're normally pretty comparable with the Oculus versions, plus they have extra ones, but they're normally a lot pricier, so it's all kind of a, if you don't like the whole Facebook route, that's kind of your first avenue to look in. Any comments on all that, Wookie?
HTC Vive is the company behind that one, so just a quick correction. The Samsung Odyssey, I thought those were on their way out, but again, I kind of glance at the technical details at best until I'm wanting to buy one, because if I look at all the specs, then I'll be buying them all.
Yeah.
So I thought they were kind of like, we can't win, my name is Samsung, and we're going to cash out, but that could be wrong.
I think they're still kind of in it, so.
Okay. Is that coming out of nowhere for me, or is that legit?
No, I think they've kind of struggled, and like not the Odyssey Plus, but the Odyssey, I think, struggled quite a bit.
Gotcha.
Another disclaimer, like, to me, a lot of the other podcasts that I've listened to, like, they all talk specs and all this and that, and that's like awesome and good to know all that, but my focus personally is on games. I wouldn't even care if my original Rift, if I had to use that for like another couple years, because the games are what's important, and the games are what need to catch up to other avenues, like the console gaming and all that. Like, headsets are cool, and there's a lot of space to do stuff, different things with, but I would just have them focus on games myself.
Yeah. There needs to be a good balance of all that. Like, if you have the best hardware on the planet and no games, you know, go Nintendo. Not that it was on a slide against Nintendo, but the last few Nintendo consoles, I have the Switch and I had the Wii and the Wii U, and I keep buying the same damn version of Mario Kart. It's like,
yeah.
Just give me Blockfort, goddammit.
A good thing to do, if you can't find a friend that has a headset or a local arcade that maybe have them, the best thing to do is try before you buy. I know some Best Buys kind of demo units. Worst case scenario, go the Amazon route, order one, try it, live with it for like a week or two, send it back. Because they're not, unfortunately, they're not all one size fits all. Like, a lot of them have the Halo band, which most people like, some people don't. There's just so many little differences.
Yeah, you really
kind of got to look into it.
There's weight and heat. The original Rift, it's not on the list because the Rift S replaced it, but that thing, you know, it's a little heavy, a little warm. Or the Quest, like the box of the Quest on your face, you touch that and it's warm, but it doesn't really feel like it warms up my face.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of stuff like that. And then you got to wear, like, if you have glasses, you got to look at that stuff. Because I have a 3D printed plastic piece with a $20 pair of plastic lens glasses that somebody was, we can share the links with those in future episodes with accessories. But that just allows you to not have to wear your glasses in the regular Rift again. Not available, but that was a lifesaver because it's squeezing your glasses on your nose and all that stuff. Whereas the Quest just has space for them. And again, and the I have a balaclava where we'll share links in a future episode again for accessories, but it just kind of holds the glasses in place, an unexpected benefit of a $15 Amazon purchase. So there's just so many little things about each one.
Yeah. So going from that, there's a few. We're also going to introduce like a VR jargon word of the week because there are some VR-specific terms that you kind of need to know. And we'll give you two of them today because we're going to actually cover them. And I already missed one of them. But the first VR jargon word of the week is HMD. You're going to hear that a lot once you start looking into it or reading. And all that stands for is head-mounted display. You're strapping a monitor to your head pretty much.
Yeah, just the headset itself.
Yeah. The other jargon word of the week for this week is IPD. And that's the interpupillary distance.
Interpupillary distance.
There you go.
Not a VR term. It's a vision term. Just how far apart your pupils are, your eyes.
Yeah.
And it makes a huge difference.
That's a big point when you're looking at headsets because the original Rift and the Oculus Quest have a physical slider. You can pick your IPD.
Within a range. I mean,
within a range, yeah.
Some people have wider faces.
Yep. Oculus Rift S does not. They do it via software. And I haven't tried a Rift S yet. A Rift S is like a sidestep upgrade to a Rift. So I'm hanging on until I absolutely have to. I believe the Valve Index does have a slider. The Vives, I think they come and go, so if you're looking at the Vive option, you'll just have to look into that one because I don't know. But it's very important. If you don't have the IPD right, I don't know if it'll make you go cross-eyed, but like text is fuzzy, things are blurry.
It's just not comfortable. When you go through the setup of putting your headset on, the first time you do it, and you can go back through the tips, and it's like, you know, make sure it's vertically set on your head, and then the horizontal lines will line up, and then make sure you do the IPD slider, and then the vertical lines will like line up in the little tester. And if you can't get it right, it's just going to be blurry and it'll probably give you motion sickness.
Yeah, you don't want that. Another reason why, if you can try before you buy, it's very, very smart. When you buy a headset, in the box, normally you get the headset and you get controllers and you'll get a pair of sensors.
Depending on the headset.
Yeah.
Sensors.
So personally, I've used in the VR arcade we were at was the Vive Pro, it was the Vive Wands, and first time I ever used them, very natural, worked very well. I forgot I was playing a game, I was in VR, but then when we got our Rifts later on, a couple months after that, so far, my favorite controllers personally are the Rift controllers.
Yeah, the HTC or the Vive Wands they ever called because they're kind of tall. And they feel like you're holding a stick. Whereas like the Rift and the Oculus Quest are almost just as good as the Rift. They're a little odd and I don't like the straps as much.
Yeah, so
it's like a half of an Xbox controller that's just molded to fit a normal hand. And you forget you have a control in your hand sometimes. It's pretty seamless.
Yeah. So then with the Valve Index, they're commonly called Valve Knuckles because that was kind of the prototype name. And they actually can tell, they can track each finger movement individually, which is pretty cool. I haven't personally tried them, but now that they got their initial round, they had an issue with them with the clicking of the joysticks, but I think that's fixed now. Supposedly they're pretty nice, so I haven't tried them.
And that's like a physical glove sort of thing it comes with? Or is that extra?
It's like a controller, like, and it just has sensors to track your fingers, so you can...
Gotcha.
Whereas like the Rift and I think the Vive 2, you can track, like you can make a fist, you can point, and you can give a thumbs up. That's the extent of it. The Valve, right. You can do every finger individually. But
yeah, because the controllers have sensors when you just touch it. So at least for the Quest and the Rift, like it just knows if you're resting your hand in sort of a fist shape, or if you're pushing the buttons, or if you lift a finger off the trigger. The triggers all have sensors in them. But a fun fact is, I'm pretty sure it's a confirmed thing they're working on for the Quest, but since it's got cameras, the nice thing about that is they can always upgrade that software. It's a good and a bad thing. They can always change stuff, but they're supposed to be the first ones that'll actually have camera-based, like native, complete finger hand tracking without any extra hardware. So you might not even need controllers with the Quest at some point.
Yeah, they just upgraded the Quest to where you, if you start up the headset without controllers, you can actually just use your hands. Before, you had to start with controllers. They're pretty quick to upgrade that stuff. It's taking games longer to implement it, but I don't know if controllers will ever go fully away from... Some games can do it, and it's nice. Like Oculus Venue app, where you can watch bands playing and stuff. I believe they've released the hand track, or the hands, so you don't need controllers. So while you're sitting there watching like a band play for 2 hours, it's really nice that you don't have to sit there with a controller, and it works pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to replace physical sensors and switches and things for input, because there's no question about it. So wireless, I mean, everyone knows wireless connection. That's probably why if my voice is dropping out, my PC's wireless right now. It's a problem, I don't know. But the only problem they'll have with a software like that, which is, it sounds fantastic and awesome, but if you're playing like a fast action game, if the camera... You know, the lighting in your room might change how your hands look. You know, if you're playing a first-person shooter sort of competitive thing, which may or may not be a good idea to use that.
Yeah.
For casual calm games, I'm sure it's fantastic, or at least it will be soon.
Mm-hmm. So one more thing with controllers before we move on, it kind of leads right into the next one, is with the Quest and the Rift S controllers, they're identical. And from the original Rift controllers, they're almost inverted. Where the Rift controllers, the ring, sensor ring was below your fingers on the bottom. Quest and Rift S, the ring is on top. That's because they have inside-out tracking, which means they don't have any sensors. You don't need any sensor setup. You don't need wire. The only wire with the Rift S is to the computer is the HDMI cable. And then the Quest has no wire.
But you can add a cable to the Quest and make it just as good, I think. So.
Yes. It does have the link cable to let you play full-blown PC VR games. It brings us to sensors, but it also brings us to lighting. In my gaming room, I have Hue lights. I have voice commands. I just shut my lights off and go to town in VR. Gaming. Nothing else.
I shut my lights off and leave the house and head into town. Gears and such.
It's just a little, it makes things more immersive, I think, because every headset I've worn so far, there's at least just a little gap around your nose to where you can kind of see like your feet or something. But once a game starts, you forget about it. But if you can play in the dark, you don't have that, so it's nice. So unfortunately, the Quest and the Rift S, they need light. You have to have lights on and stuff because they use cameras for tracking. And for the pass-through, which we'll get to. So that's just something to be concerned about, or just something to have in your head, like lighting. I've worn my Oculus Quest outside until it got super dark out, and there was just like a normal outside light on, and I was 30 feet away from it, and it still worked pretty well. So it's not, you don't need a ton of light, but it is a thing where it's something to consider when you're choosing headsets.
Yep.
And like I said, it brings us to sensors as well. The Valve Index, most of the Vives, and some of the, like, we don't get into, like, the Windows Media headsets and stuff, but most of them require sensors to place around your room, which are basically cameras that can read where your controllers and your headset are at. That's part of the setup pain. If you have a headset with sensors, you hopefully have a room where you can have them mounted and ran, and you don't have to touch them, because if you have to move them every time, then you have to do setup every time, and it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Whereas the Rift folks kept making it easier, because that was kind of a pain for me, because my office has, you know, slanted ceilings, which is fun to punch walls every once in a while. But at first, you'd have to go through the whole thing. You'd have to go to the PC and click some stuff, then put the headset on and do some things, go back to the PC, and it was terrible. And then suddenly, it was just sort of like 15 seconds all in the headset. I'm like, whoa, shit.
Yeah.
So I do like how the Quest folks or the Oculus folks, like that and the finger tracking, they're pretty committed to making advancements. And even, I think that was even after the Rift itself was no longer available, which is weird why they would update that.
Yeah, like, they're still...
It's great that they're supporting it, because the other ones don't have the sensors, and here they are for a product you can't even buy anymore, making sensor updates. Fantastic customer service for that.
When we bought our Oculus Rifts, you got two sensors, which is kind of the standard. And then you can purchase extra sensors. I know some people go up to four sensors, but they kind of say that three is the most you want. And it also has to do with all VR equipment is pretty much needs USB 3.0. And if your computer has to have a good USB bus to like kind of separate it and have different channels, otherwise you can run into problems. So that's with the Oculus Rift S. Being wireless, no sensors, you don't have to worry about all that, so it's a little nicer.
Yep.
But when you're using sensors, like the tracking, as good as the inside-out tracking is on the Rift S and Quest, you can't beat the sensor setup. And I have like a triangle of sensors in my room, and I have never had a tracking issue once I got them where I wanted them.
Whereas I do, because I have to be able to walk through my room, so my sensors are, if I'm standing in the middle, one front left, kind of medium height, one front right, low pointing up, and then one back left. So it's like not a perfect triangle. There's two on one side and one on the other. So the back right corner, if I turn that way and I'm trying to shoot a PJ with a, you know, machine gun and Pavlov, sometimes my hands will lose it because I am blocking the sensors to see the right hand. And sometimes it only lasts for like a millisecond. It's enough to get me shot. But it is kind of picky how you do that. Once you get it right, I'm sure it's perfect. But at all about your room.
And when you can tell when it happens, because you'll be looking at the person and one of their hands will just go like straight behind their head and you're like, damn, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Just like when someone takes a break and that you can tell like their head goes up in the game and then they set their controllers down. So like their hands go to the floor and depending on the game, it like either stretch them out or it'll just separate them and it's just like the creepiest looking thing.
Yeah. If you put your headset on the ground with your controllers, you just sometimes fold up into like a little Ninja Turtle pile. Like you just, it's weird.
It's pretty crazy.
I don't have enough experience with the other headsets, any experience to know what the sensor's problems are. I know that Oculus Rifts using complete USB was kind of a bad thing because it was too much traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So the HTC Vive had a different way of doing the sensors, which I don't remember the terms. Because as soon as I didn't need to worry about the sensors, once I got figured out, you know, I forgot the research. We can look that up if there's a thing, but it was some sort of like constellation thing. One of them had a name.
Yeah.
That one seems to be better. But again, when you're talking about sensors, you're talking about wall mounts, you're talking about cables and running, and don't trip over that because it's probably expensive.
I have a dedicated gaming room, and I literally walk in my room. I have my headsets hanging on like a cool coat hook rack thing. I just throw my headset on and I go.
Coat hook? Is there such a thing?
Well, you know, they're not like a wooden peg or anything.
Oh.
It like holds plastic, my controllers and my headset. And
plastic $10 Walmart coat hook. It's like a hand carved antler. Sorry.
But, you know, depending, it's just something to consider your room setup. Like, are there going to be other people walking through? Is it designated like your space? Because I have zero problem with my cables are all run really nicely and I don't have to worry about it. But like in Wookiee situation, it's more open and you gotta think of that stuff. So,
So my room has one wall of my little play area is the back of a couch. And then on the other side of the couch is a projector screen. So people are sitting on the couch watching shows. Sometimes I almost bop people in the head if I'm, you know, reaching for PJ, and I'm almost, you know, I don't really know the couch is there yet, because then the Guardian kicks in. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, you just got to have it. A lot of this plays into the beauty of the wireless Oculus Quest, because there's for the Rift, there was actually a $300 wireless kit somebody made you could buy, and I'm like, I think I'll just buy the Quest, because it's the same price, and I'll have the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So
I would just love the Quest with a link cable, but when you actually connected it, if it would just turn the cameras off and use the sensors, that would be so amazing.
Yeah,
that would be the best of any world. So that kind of brings us, you mentioned the Guardian, so we'll kind of bring that up here. When you put on your headset and the storefront or the home pops up, part of the setup is normally to outline your play area. And I don't remember doing that with the Vive, so I don't really know what they have, but for like the Oculus Quest and Oculus Rift S, you throw your headset on, you outline your play area with your controller, and it's like 10 seconds. And you just draw the outline of the floor, and then when you're in like in the game or in the menu, when you get close to those edges, and you can control the sensitivity and speed and all this, these virtual walls pop up, so they let you know you're close to your wall.
Yeah, you draw the bottom of the walls, and draw on the floor plan, it's just, you know, where the walls go. And it just kind of saves you. You draw them like, you know, a foot and a half away from your real wall or whatever you might bump into, and that just gives you a buffer so you don't smash your face or your hand.
Yeah.
It's and immersion breaking, but it's better than TV breaking.
Yeah. And the cool thing is you can have multiple rooms set up. And the new thing with the Oculus Quest and the Rift S is they brought in what's called pass-through. So if you physically step outside of that boundary, like if you know where your doorway is or something, the cameras kick in and you can see the real world in camera without taking your headset off. Because before this was a thing, like with our Rifts, we actually made on our floor plan on our Guardian, we'd make a little bump and we're like, that's where our water bottle is. And so you can take a drink without taking your headset off type of thing.
To do that, so I know which corner or which side of the room I'm facing. But it is funny because once you walk right outside, it's a little disorienting because it's kind of doing the two eyeball things with the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So things up close are kind of skewed. It's a black and white. It's not that good of an image, but you can totally just walk down all the way downstairs from a second story room and go get a glass of water without taking the headset off.
So like I mentioned, you can do multiple rooms. If I leave my gaming room, go out, and then the cameras kick in. And say if I go outside to where I have my yard mapped out, as soon as I walk in that boundary, I'm back in VR. But you don't have to do anything. It's just instant and it's nice.
Yeah, it remembers all the guardians of the rooms you've set up before. So that's another good thing about the Quest. I hate to be leaning that way, but it's just so handy. Because you know, if somebody's doing something in the room, you can just go in the living room, draw a square and play a sit down game so you don't kick anybody or punch a TV or step on your dog. But then you're plan as long as you got battery.
Yeah. My workaround for this before it was a thing in the Rift, I have security cameras around my house. I just had a little quick link to the app for that, so I could just pull it up and I'd see, you know, the room views of my house. So I'd see myself from the back, and that's more disorienting than the pass through by far. But
it's like playing old school Resident Evil with yourself.
Yeah, it's still pretty fun. Like, all right, can I guide my own arm to the water bottle? Or is there a cat in my room? I don't want to look. Anyway, back to the... It's just funny. So that's the Guardian and pass-through system, and it's really nice. And that's actually an area where they keep wanting to upgrade, and they want to get it to where it's like, you know, perfect video. So it's pretty cool.
The other thing with that, just going back to the Oculus Facebook thing, it's a sore spot for me because I have, I don't know how many cameras are actually on the Oculus Quest, but now Facebook, if I link my account or not, because it's all Facebook, I have a bunch of cameras looking at everything in my house.
Yeah.
So if you're a conspiracy nut, they could be sending themselves snapshots to see what's in your house to sell you more stuff or sell to advertisers. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a concern.
The other thing is, like, the sensors are basically webcams, so, I mean, no matter what you do, it's a thing. So if you're if that really bothers you, you might need to think of something else to do than other than play VR.
Just get a better paying job, buy a house with one more room than you actually need, and don't put anything in there besides comfortable carpet and one light bulb.
Yeah. We kind of brought up room setup, but we'll have a few more points to that. So I'll just keep coming back to my gaming room because that's what I know. I have got myself to an 8x8 player space, which is, it's good. It was smaller and you can make it work. If space is an issue, there are like games that you can sit down and play. And I recommend having a good mix of those because if you've been standing too long playing VR, it's nice to have a sit down game to switch to. But throughout my room, I have interlocking floor mats, and my entire room is covered in floor mats. So it's really nice, both for working out and playing VR. Because if you play just on your normal floor, your feet get sore and tired and all that.
Well, so if you're jumping around again playing you know, Pavlov or something, I've had to buy knee pads because sometimes, you know, it's just warm up here in the south. Up here in the south. Warm in the south, but like, you know, upstairs in my house. So you might be wearing shorts and I don't have the pads on my, I need to do it to protect the carpet. But sometimes you drop to one knee and spin around to shoot somebody and lo and behold, you get rug burn.
Yeah. Explain that to your wife.
Why do your knees have scuffs and rug burn? I don't remember having date night.
You got to pay for this VR somehow.
Wasn't that you in the dark room? Anyway.
Back to room setup. Another good thing to have is fan, both to keep you cool, and it does help a lot of people. Even if you don't have motion sickness, it just helps you feel, not sure why, they can't really explain it, but just having a breeze hit you really kind of keeps you from centered. getting motion sickness. So
if you want to go the crazy route, games like Skyrim that have the mods where you can have a fan get kicked on when you're up in a windy mountaintop and have that tied to a fan, if you're playing the VR version and you have that set up, that's probably pretty neat. But
yeah,
it's a little much.
That's the main topics. I have a few other little things I just wanted to bring up for those who haven't played VR. Once you put the headset on, like we said, you get kind of in your own little room in most of them. You normally have a bar with your library and stuff, but there's also a desktop option for like the PC VR, so you can actually see your desktop, which helps if you want to play a game and install, you can at least look at everything without taking your headset off and stuff. Because I hate having my TV on that my computer is connected to when I have VR on, because I don't like waste, and that just feels like wasting to me. So it's very nice to be able to do that. So
another touch into that is like the storefronts, and keep piping the Oculus Quest, but since you can walk around and play games and you can sit down and we'll probably go more deeper into this again in another future episode. We're coming up on time, but like the storefronts and everything, if just about any headset will work with the Steam game. So each company has their own, like Oculus has its Oculus Store and everything like that. But Steam just has everything, and there's Steam VR, which kind of patches in, so you can play Steam VR games. And it's like, well, what's the Steam headset? Do I have to buy the Valve because that's, you know, Steam's company? It's like, no, it'll work with your Rift, and it's just nice because the Quest can bridge both of those. I'm gonna be walking around, I can sit down and plug in with the Oculus Link. Feature will go into more detail later, but you can plug in and have your PC power the games. It's the best of both worlds. If you hate the Facebook thing, and if they do stuff where like you have to be merged with your Facebook account or have to create a Facebook account to play any of the Oculus Store games, you're like, give them the middle finger, play all Steam games, and it works just fine.
Yep. Yeah. Next episode, we'll go through the storefronts, because we'll do games and storefronts and all that stuff. Like we mentioned before, some of the headsets connect differently than others. Like some are USB 3.0, some have a different kind of connection that allows you to, I think it's just like one USB jack type of thing. But those are things to consider when you're looking at the headsets, just how you're going to power everything.
Yep. Want to touch on that, because I had a lot of trouble, especially when I went with the Rift with the third sensor. Because I have a Shuttle PC gaming little cube guy. I like those. It's my second one I built. It comes with everything you need, but there's always stipulations. The video card I have, I had to measure it and it barely fit, but it only had a USB 3.0 hub. And one of the weird things about the Rift itself was if you got a third sensor, that should be on a USB 2.0 hub, which that might blow some folks' minds, but it's basically a different connection that I didn't have a port built in for. I had to go like to my manual, find where I needed to plug a little pin connector in and have a cable running outside my PC and plug one of the sensors into that. It's like, Jesus. And then when I got the Quest with their little link cable, that's the USB-C cable. That's what the, you know, like newer phones and stuff use. And I didn't have one of those built into the thing. So I had to get an adapter. First one, you know, $6-7 on Amazon, didn't work or didn't have audio or something like that. And then I had to buy another one. So like, you got to look at those connectors because it's, there's a lot of little parts to these kind of things, little connections like that, that can ruin your whole day. Cause you get a whole headset and you'd be ready to play. And you're like, oh, I can't, I can charge it. But if I bought my link cable for $80-90, whatever that thing was, you probably can't play that out of the box unless you know exactly what your PC has and what you need. So it takes a little research for that.
And feel free to contact, like, we can look into stuff if you're having issues.
Yeah,
we've had to, glad to help, though. We've helped a couple friends get into it, so.
Yeah, we've had to, like, answer these questions. Like, I hate, like Peter said, I hate waste, too. So I have to research stuff before I buy it, and I have to fix the issues. Otherwise, like, PJ's more about the games. I'm more about the experience. If it's going to be a pain in the butt and it takes me 40 minutes to get into it, I might go do something else instead. And that doesn't just, it's not just VR headsets. Like, you know, the Steam VR thing, the storefront, sometimes the games go wacky and you know, there'll be a problem here and there. It's technology. It's the same thing like when the Grand Theft Auto game, when that thing first launched, even still, when that thing first launched, it would take us 50, 60 minutes to get into a match because it kicked out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You could have played who knows what else in that time. So it's a, yeah, it's a thing.
We would love to help you get rid of as much friction as you, we can for VR because there is some, and we don't want anyone to get discouraged and give up on it because I think once you figure it out and get into it, you'll never go back.
Yeah, so. It's, or you'll, hell, I mean, more featured things, but you'll learn to play other non-VR games in VR and be like, what the hell is this? But we're all about, you know, answering questions, helping people get over the hard thing. Usually when we're playing some new game and we have friends playing, everyone's asking us like, how do you do this and that? And cause we do a little more dissection of the games and probably enablers for our friends, but they, you know, when stuff's hard to explain, we always seem to be in party chat instead of playing the game, we're explaining it to people. So that's just how we do stuff. So please feel free if you're interested, just write in, get in touch.
That's right. So just a reminder, next episode, we're going to go over this different storefronts and all the platform policies and some good games to start with in VR to slowly start out with so we can avoid motion sickness and all that fun stuff. There's, should I say the tugging tater every time? Or
yeah, sure.
Otherwise, if anything else is tugging your tater or tickling your tots, let us know at or hashtag at VRVerdict on Twitter, and we'll get to your questions on the next podcast. Thank you again for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Yep. I am PJ.
I'm Wookie. Thanks for joining.
And this is our VR Verdict.
Need to find something to bang like a gavel, but just pretend we banged a gavel. If you don't know what that is, go watch Night Court.
Just go watch Night Court. No matter what. We'll be right back.